Chapter 3.
It's not a monster,
Ryland's disgruntled voice said a moment before he appeared from around the mural.
It's just a monger.
An ugly, black-feathered bird that looked like a cross between a crane and a praying mantis was balancing on Ryland's head as the miffed stable boy marched toward us, and it cocked its molting head and blinked its creepy yellow eyes. The pinpricks of its pupils darted around at all the people starting, and in its slobbery, pincered mouth, there was an envelope.
"Igoric, you nasty thing!"
Shay exclaimed and hurried over to the stable boy.
"He won't get off!"
Ryland grumbled, and when he tried to wave the creature away, it merely hung on with its talons even harder.
"Ouch!
Bad monster!"
Mira cried, and flailed her arm in the direction of the crane mantis.
"Hey!"
I shouted at the ugly creature, and it cocked its head a full 180 in my direction. Then I pulled the cracked amulet off my neck and held it up so it would sparkle in the sunlight. The monger hissed and dropped the letter it had in its pincers.
"That's right, you like shiny things, don't you?" I said, and then tossed the object to the side.
"Go get it!" "Baka!"
Igoric hollered and launched off Ryland's head after his prize.
"Stupid bird!"
Ryland said as he brushed a few of Igoric's feathers off of his tunic.
"How's your head, kiddo?" I asked, and patted his ruffled hair that was now sticking up all over.
"Fine, but that dumb monger better watch it!"
he snarled. And the crane mantis hissed at him from where it was trying to bury the amulet in the dirt.
"Okay, tough guy, but I think you need to go show Mira you're all right."
I chuckled and nudged Ryland in the direction of where the little deer girl was still clinging to her father, with tears dripping off her chin.
"Hey, Miri," he said and waved a hand. "Don't worry, I'm okay."
When she continued to stare at him with uncertainty, Ryland walked over to prove to her he was all right, and he even did a dorky little jig until she was giggling once more.
"Glad you're okay, lad,"
Lord Mech rumbled, and patted the stable boy on the head.
"I am afraid we have taken up most of your morning and ought to let you go about your afternoon."
"Hey, Gavlane, will you ever explain to me why you really need me to do this ceremony?" I asked, as I finished putting on my boots along with everyone else. "Now that I have these pools up and running, I could just add any extra tithe stones you need for the island or whatever."
"It would be unwise to put you in that position," Mech said, as he set his little daughter on the ground. "And I understand I still haven't fully revealed your importance, but just know the favor you are doing for me will be repaid hopefully tenfold."
"I'll help you get your carriage, Lord Mech,"
Ryland said, and he led the way with Mira's hand in his.
"Such a good lad,"
Mech said, as he watched his wife follow after the kids.
"It seems like he has found his way living here. He always seemed to struggle with his place, but you have been a good influence on him."
"He's truly one of a kind," I chuckled and shook my head.
"I also wanted to give this back to you."
The Ram Lord reached into his cloak and pulled out a silver medallion about the size of a 50-cent piece. The medallion was taken off Gordo and his lackey Gutter, who'd tried to lead us into a trap. Apparently, the little trinket may or may not be responsible for acting like a demon nest tracking device or something.
"Did you find out how it works or where it came from?" I asked, as I tucked it in my pocket.
"I am afraid I lack any more resources on my end, but I will say I wouldn't mind taking a look at Arcus's library myself. So here's to hoping we can sort out the council, the pack of greedy vipers."
Mech frowned. "We're working on a backup plan, too, don't worry," I said, and my wives and I escorted the Asher Lord down through the courtyard and to the carriage house. Then, with another round of goodbyes, the royal family trundled off in a carriage drawn by a set of oversized creatures called manipillars. They trilled as they trotted away, and the feathery antenna on their large, shaggy heads rippled and swayed until they were out of sight.
"The shield is in the barn for you, Mr. Alex,"
one of my hard-working farmhands, Mel, said in his roughened voice as he finished tidying the carriage house by sweeping any remaining straw and dirt away from the entryway.
"Thanks, Mel," I said with a nod.
"Bowden'll be about in a minute, sir," the short raccoon man added. "He has something to show y'all."
"Hey, what was in that letter from the old turkey anyway?"
Rylan asked, as we all headed back toward the kitchen that was fast becoming a sort of meeting place when things needed to be discussed. We all amassed around the large oak table, and Arvid, the giant sloth man, was already there providing us with plates and platters of fresh fruit, crusty, rustic bread, and roasted meat freshly sliced.
"It's a letter from Horace,"
Shay said, when we were all seated and noshing on some Arvid-approved snacks. She unfolded the envelope and smoothed it out on the table.
"He has informed us he's safe for the time being, and he especially wanted to assure me he's not back with the mercenary clans."
"That's good, isn't it?"
Zoe asked as she poured us all small glasses of wine.
"The mercenary clans didn't treat him very well."
"Yeah, it's good,"
Shay trailed off, but her expression looked haunted by something.
"Hey, Uncle Oris's letter also said he tried to break into Arcus Dola's estate,"
Rylan said as he peered over Shay's shoulder and down at the letter still spread out on the table. "Crazy bastard," I muttered, as I shook my head and took the letter so I could skim it too. "I bet he was trying to get something from that library." I glanced over it, and sure enough, he'd tried to break in for some specific book or something, but only managed to walk away with Igoric. "It says here Igoric only eats bloody liver. And we'd better feed him, or he'll be even more impossible than he already is," I said, and rolled my eyes.
"Well, I, for one, am relieved our Horace is okay,"
Zoe said as she nibbled on some cheese.
"Yeah, for now,"
Shay murmured, and stared down at her still full plate. No one seemed to notice how quiet she had become, so I reached under the table and squeezed her thigh reassuringly. She looked up with her troubled emerald eyes and smiled at me, even though I could tell something was worrying her. Before I could ask anything, however, she perked up, folded up Horace's letter, and cleared her throat.
"We have a few things on the agenda,"
the Phoenix woman said.
"Namely, the trader's auction for this evening."
"So we're still rescuing Velralla, then?" I asked my two wives. Velralla, the cruel socialite widow to the vulture man Asher Gordo, had caused us more than enough trouble. The cockatoo woman was manipulative and status-hungry, and she'd managed to badmouth Zoe and sick her stupid husband on my foster son all in one evening. So, because of all that, I really wanted nothing to do with her. But shortly after Gordo idiotically got himself killed when his plan to lure me into a duel backfired, Velralla found herself without a husband. Because of her nasty reputation, she found herself isolated from anyone willing to help her, or remarry her, or whatever it took to keep her from being sent back to the traders. So she came to us for help as her last resort. The only reason we were all considering taking her in was because the traders were a fate that was apparently worse than death, if I was reading the implications correctly. Zoe had been sent back to the traders numerous times, and she wouldn't really talk about what went on while she was with them. But the mere thought of even someone so foul as Velralla being sent there caused her to have a change in heart. Even now, when the subject arose once more, Zoe unconsciously hunched her shoulders and her ears drooped a little.
"As unpleasant as the woman can be, she might as well be here where she can add some sort of value,"
my catwife said. But I knew she was really more sympathetic to Velralla's plight than she let on.
"She is quite a skilled saleswoman, I've heard."
"'Tis true. Velralla had a lot of success turning a fair profit for her wares,"
Shay added, as she discreetly leaned into the other woman's side for comfort. And I was grateful the Phoenix woman had picked up on Zoe's hidden anxiety as much as I did.
"It really is such a waste for a smart and capable person to end up in the trade."
"Then it's settled," I said. "We'll go to the trader's auction tonight. Begging your pardon," the voice of my second trusty farmhand and on-site carpenter, Bowden, sounded as the raccoon man came into the kitchen. "I thought y'all might want to know the greenhouse is built and the soil is ready for planting our coley seeds."
"Really?"
Rylan gasped, and he wiggled in his seat a little like he did when he was trying his hardest to contain his boundless enthusiasm.
"Can we go see it?"
"I was actually hoping you'd all like to help me plant,"
Mel said with a small grin, when he entered the kitchen behind his brother a moment later. "Let's all go," I said, as a plan began to form in my mind. We all followed the raccoon brothers to the upper east field, but I lagged behind with a quiet Shay as the others pulled ahead. "You all right, sweetheart?" I asked her, once we were far enough away that it felt like we had a little privacy.
I'm...
Shay started in her usual cheerful voice, but then she faltered when I reached over and laced her fingers with mine.
Oh, Alex, I'm worried about my brother.
But he says he's not with the mercenaries anymore, I said, as I helped her traverse a part of the path that was a bit treacherous with tree roots. Do you think he's lying?
No, I don't think he's lying about not being back with the clans.
Shay sighed as she stopped for a moment to get a pebble out of her shoe. When she straightened up, I tugged her toward me and offered her my back. Hop on, babe, I said over my shoulder, and I was rewarded with a bright grin and the feeling of her strong thighs gripping me on either side of my waist as she jumped up for a piggyback ride.
How kind of you, good sir, to carry me thus.
She purred against my ear. Anything for you, Toots, I said, and tossed her a playful wink just to make her laugh that low, bell-like laugh I loved so much.
I will never get tired of your charming turns of phrase, despite the fact I'm not sure what you mean at times,
she said, and snuggled her face into the curve of my neck to stifle her giggles. As we approached the top of the ridge where the upper field was, a dazzling burst of light caught the sun and almost blinded me because it was so brilliant, and I briefly found myself in a predicament. I wanted to shield my eyes, but I was also holding on to the backs of Shay's knees at the same time. Luckily, I only had to take a few steps in complete blindness before the angle of the light fractured into a thousand flickering rainbow lights like confetti. My mouth fell open in awe. "Is that the greenhouse?" I asked.
"Oh, my! Bowden must have ordered Omite sunglass,"
Shay said with a similar tone of wonder.
"It's fairly inexpensive, since it's mostly used as plate and table settings for outdoor garden parties because of the way it catches the light."
"I see," I said, and I marveled at all of the twinkling lights dancing around the field, as if they were transparent fluffs of falling summer cotton.
"It was clever of him, because the glass uses the sun to retain heat in order to keep the plates warm and the drinks hot, especially in the cold weather,"
she elaborated. "That's the perfect material for greenhouses," I agreed, and let her back down on the ground so we could both hurry to catch up with the others.
"Bowden, you and your brother are magnificent,"
Shay enthused when we were all inside the modest structure with the dazzling edifice. If there weren't strategically placed windows and skylights that circulated the breeze, the greenhouse would be stifling with the radiant heat.
"I agree. This is truly a feat,"
Zoe added, as she spun in a small circle to get a panoramic view of the place.
"I'm afraid it was all Bowden's work," Mel grunted modestly. "I'm just good with plants."
"Only in design," the taller raccoon brother said, and he sheepishly took off his painter's cap so he could fiddle with it. "Anyway, this was the easy part. Getting a coley to grow when it is not their time will be the real challenge, which is where Mel's expertise comes in."
"Well, then what are we waiting for?"
Ryland piped up as he slung a small satchel of what appeared to be seeds around himself so it rested against his hip.
"Ahem."
Mel was next to the boy, with more satchels gripped in his paw-like hands for us to all take, and he cleared his throat and shifted on his feet as if he wasn't used to having such a big audience.
"If you look, you'll see I've already tilled the ground, so, all you do is sprinkle the seeds in the rows."
He pointed to the many freshly tilled tracts of loamy dirt and then shrugged.
"Since there are 48 rows, I propose we split up into pairs and tackle 2 rows at a time," Bowden said, as he adjusted his own satchel around his waist.
We all paired up based on who was standing closest to who, which meant Shay and I were together again and a little bit away from the rest of the group. The two of us worked at scattering the seeds in companionable silence, but there was a heaviness to it, and I knew I only had to wait long enough for Shay to finish wrestling with whatever was still weighing on her mind. Sure enough, when we were about halfway through our rows, Shay slowed and turned to me.
"Remember when you asked me if I thought Horace was lying about being back with the mercenaries?"
she asked.
"So, you do think he's in with that crowd again," I said, and slowed to a stop as well.
"Yes and no,"
she said as she fiddled with the strap across her chest.
"I don't think he's back with the clans, per se, but I do wonder just what company he's keeping."
"You sound like you have a theory," I said. Shay frowned and resumed scattering her seeds.
There is another crowd, as you say, that might have interest enough in my brother to want to harbor him, much like the clans. Do you know of the Wolfmen tribes?
Zoe and I may have run into them when we raided the ancient ruins of Crater Ridge. I shuddered when I remembered how we were pursued by a pack of werewolf-like creatures. That was the same night we ran into you via our little boat.
It's a night I shall never forget.
The beautiful phoenix woman smiled a sad smile as she threw another handful of seeds along the tilled row.
You remember what I told you when I found you? How I was told a fortune when I turned 16, and how it eventually preceded his exile?
I remember, I said. Your father disinherited Horus because he wouldn't use his alchemy for his own gains. Not gonna lie, I'm glad your father is dead.
Me too. Even though that is terrible to say of your own father.
She sighed.
Well, shortly after that, I went to have my wings removed. But as you know, the procedure was botched. An infection set in, and I got very, very sick.
I didn't know that part, I said, and slowed to a stop again. I'm glad you pulled through.
I almost didn't,
she admitted, and the next handful of seeds she reached for shook ever so slightly.
At the time, Horus was doing anything to survive. Avantol is cruel and has no room for those who are exiled or disinherited. I don't know much about that time, because every time I ask, Horus goes quiet. But I do know when my illness was at its worst, suddenly he was there providing me with a medicine I'd never encountered before. I was cured the next morning, and when I asked him about it, he implied he had curried some sort of favor with the wolfmen and the shaman, but was not supposed to say anything else because of how they guard their tribe's secrets.
And you think he's with these people now? I asked, and continued to scatter my own seeds.
I don't know who else would gain from taking him in,
Shay said. Could they be forcing Horus to track the demons like the mercenaries were? I asked.
I'm not sure,
she said with a shrug of her delicate shoulders.
But I do know the mercenaries and the wolfmen have both pitted themselves against the duelists and their society for different reasons. The clans hate ashes, because they feel it's unfair to leave something as important as power and land ownership to something random like the goddess's divine blessing. Meanwhile, it is said the wolfmen believe themselves to be the true and rightful heirs of the land because they call themselves the moon's first children. They ruled before the goddess saved the people, and they claim the duelists ran them underground.
Are the mercenaries and the wolfmen allies? I scattered the last of my seeds and took the satchel off from around my neck.
Gracious, no. They hate each other more than they hate the duelists,
she giggled.
It's rather silly, really. Horus told me that apparently many seasons ago, the tribes and clans got together in order to come to some sort of compromise or agreement. The wolfmen thought dividing the land after overthrowing the ashes would be fair. But the mercenaries proved too bitter to accept help from a species other than man, and too greedy to not take back all the land for themselves. They didn't want to split the land, and so instead, a feud has been raging ever since.
What a shame, I said. Their combined forces would probably be formidable if only they could learn to work together.
Indeed,
Shay said, and then touched my shoulder to get me to look in the same direction as her.
Speaking of working together...
She indicated the far end of the greenhouse where Zoe and Rylan had come up with a clever way to scatter their seeds by tying their satchels on either end of a rake. The satchel's seams had been loosened so when either Zoe or Rylan draped the rake across their shoulders, the leaking satchels on each end distributed the seeds equally in one even pass. It looked like they were coming to the end of their rows now, and when Rylan finally dropped the rake, Zoe marched over, stopped in front of him with her arms crossed as if she was about to grade him, and then smiled and nuzzled the side of his face. Entranced, Shay and I grasped hands as we watched Zoe say something to Rylan, and my breath caught in my throat when I made out the word proud on her lips.
Oh,
Shay murmured, as she witnessed the same thing I did. Then when the messy-haired ragamuffin threw his arms around the catwoman and caused her to laugh and hug him back, I could see Shay's sorrowful emerald eyes gloss over with a faint sheen of tears. Shay? I squeezed her hand.
Our Zoe is such a wonderful mother already,
the Phoenix Woman said with a broken yet joyful smile.
I will be honored to watch your future children grow and flourish.
Sweetheart, I whispered, and drew her close so I could hold her while she shook with that old, scabbed-over grief. Even though her botched wing job didn't end up taking her life, it still managed to rob her of the chance to create it by leaving her barren. A fact that apparently devalued her as an asset and therefore caused her to be sold off to the only person willing to put up with a wife who couldn't bear any heirs.
It's okay,
Shay mumbled against my shoulder. But I could feel the wetness of her tears seeping through my tunic, so I held her tighter.
I have you and Zoe, and watching you bring your heir into the world together is enough for me.
Suddenly, a sharp flash of a memory hit me upside the head, and I pulled out of the embrace so I could hold Shay away from me at arm's length and scan her from head to toe. The jagged stained glass edge of a dream fragment rattled through my head, and my vision almost doubled as the image of Shay appeared in my mind's eye. In the dream memory, Shay and I were standing on Ithaca's terrace looking out over a sunrise. I embraced her from behind, and together the two of us cradled her pregnant belly. The dream was so vivid, I could even feel the softness of her stomach against my palms as the life within her nudged me, and I could even still feel the impression of her beautiful kaleidoscopic wings as they pressed firmly into my chest. Wait, the wings were new.
Alex?
Shay asked in concern.
What's wrong?
I blinked a few times as the present came back to me. Nothing. Nothing is wrong. I was just thinking. I was pretty sure Shay didn't buy that lame excuse, and I was sure I looked as dazed as I felt. But before she had a chance to interrogate me further, Jenner burst into the greenhouse.
Mr. Alex! Everyone, come quick!
The koala man panted, as if he ran the whole way to the upper field.
Come to the barn! You'll never believe what's just come!